Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Daniel chapter 9. Our focus will be in the first 19 verses. This is God's word. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, "O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you, O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us this great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord, our God, by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. Yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Man, I like that story about Daniel in the lion's den. Wasn't that good? Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fiery furnace, really cool stuff. What's this about? I mean, just listening to somebody praying, and the whole prayer is all about shame on us, shame on us. We're such bad people. I'm so sorry. This will never sell. Put this in a Christian bookstore, it will not fly off the shelves. Okay? Try it, broadcast it on the radio, people change the station. Put it on TV, no matter how much you smile, they won't buy it. This is just not a happy thing. And yet, let me tell you, folks, we had better understand this. The first thing I want you to see is that Daniel was studying the scriptures. Now, he's a man in a position of great importance. He has weathered the storms through all kinds of persecution, including getting thrown in the lion's den, all the stuff he's been through. But Daniel was a guy who spent time in the scriptures. And when he studied the scriptures, he studied them with the understanding that they're true, that this is God's word, and that what God says to us in the scriptures is absolutely rock solid. It's going to happen. So he says here at the beginning of chapter 9, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. He doesn't say, I think maybe what this means is, and the reason is because if you go back and you look in Jeremiah chapter 25 and Jeremiah chapter 29, it's real explicit. God didn't say, I'm going to put my people into exile for a while. God told them who was going to take over and how long the exile was going to last. God knows the future. It's under control. If you think that things are kind of just whirling out of control and oh my word, God is sovereignly working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Amen? So we may feel like, oh, I can't believe, where did that come from? What's going on? Whoa! It can feel like a roller coaster. It can seem like it's all going really fast and out of control, but guess what? There's a plan. There's a design. There's a purpose. And God keeps all his promises.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
As Daniel read the prophecy of Jeremiah, he saw that God had clearly said that the exile was going to last for 70 years. And as a result of that, he knew that the exile was going to last 70 years. He knew it. And so he said, well, okay, it's all going to be done pretty soon because I mean, you know, we're nearing the end of the 70-year period. And so I guess I'll just wait around for the 70 years to be over. Is that what he did? Not at all. Studying the scriptures, he learned what God had promised. Believing what God had promised, he began to pray fervently. Now look at this. I understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So, verse 3, I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. Well, why would you do that? God's already said he's going to bring it to pass. What are you praying for? Don't you believe in the sovereignty of God? Daniel most definitely believed in the sovereignty of God. That's why God was the one he prayed to. He didn't say, I don't know who to ask about this. He knew exactly who's in control. So he's going to go to God. But what's he going to ask God to do? He's going to ask God to keep his promises. Well, is that because he doesn't know if God keeps his promises? No, he knows God keeps his promises. But the purpose of prayer is not to bend God to our purpose. The purpose of prayer is to get ourselves aligned with the will of God. Please understand that. So many people try and find the formula where they can manipulate God, where they can try and make God do their thing. Jesus' disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, okay. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, may your name be hallowed. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why would I want to pray like that? I mean, just praying for God to do what he wants to do. I mean, what's the point? He's going to do what he wants to do. So why? Because when you pray like that, you're embracing the will of God. When you pray like that, you're recognizing that God's will is better than anything you could dream up. And so you are getting into the stream of what God is doing and finding in that context the peace that passes understanding. Because you realize that God is sovereignly in control and he's working the whole thing out and it's going to be okay. And your desire lines up now with God. You are seeking him and loving him and agreeing with him. To confess our sins is not to make God aware of something. We don't go to God and confess our sins and God says, you did what? That's not the way it is. When we confess our sins to God, we're not telling him something he doesn't know. We're simply agreeing with God about the fact that what we've done is wrong. We're getting our will lined up with his will, which is what needs to happen. And so Daniel is not trying to get God to keep his promise. He understands from the scripture that the exile is going to last for 70 years. And he begins to pray. And he begins to seek God. And I mean, he is in earnest about it. He pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. And as he did so, he confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. Verse 5, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings. Lord, you are righteous, verse 7. We are covered with shame because of our unfaithfulness to you. Verse 8, we are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. Verse 9, we have rebelled against him. Verse 10, we have not obeyed the Lord our God. Verse 11, all Israel has transgressed your laws and turned away, refusing to obey you. Verse 11, we have sinned against you. Verse 13, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. Verse 14, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Verse 15, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Verse 16, O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. I thought Daniel was a pretty good guy. I mean, Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and as a young man, he refused to eat the food from the king's table. Daniel, I thought, was very conscientious. He trusted in God, sought to obey God. What's he doing? What's he doing praying this prayer? Now, I just want to ask you, folks. When you look around at the world, don't you feel like those people are a whole lot worse than we are? And don't you feel like God needs to do something about them? We have sinned. We have rebelled. We are covered in shame. If Daniel needed to pray this way, I definitely need to pray this way. Now, when we do that, it is not because we're trying to talk God into believing that we're humble. It's because we're doing what God commands and humbling ourselves. God does command that. And if we humble ourselves, the Lord promises He'll lift us up. But if you are desperately trying to impress God with, God, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been having my quiet time every day for at least 15 minutes each day. If our prayer is an attempt to manipulate God, and we're basically coming to God and saying what we think we have to say in order to get God on our side, we're out of line. I mean, that is messed up. But if we allow Scripture to set our expectations for us, and then we begin to plead with God simply to do what God has promised He will do in the confidence that He will do it, then we have the awesome privilege of watching as God does again and again exactly what He has promised. And let me tell you, folks, it's thrilling. It is absolutely thrilling when you ask God to do what God has said, and He does, and you say, yes, that's my God. That's my King. That's my Lord. But a vital part of that is agreeing with God about His character and our need. Daniel not only confesses the greatness of God, but he identifies with the sinfulness of the people around him. Can you think of anyone who was himself, unlike Daniel, utterly sinless? Never sinned. I mean, now Daniel was an exceptionally good man. A great man. A faithful man. But he wasn't sinless. He was still human. He was a sinner. And he's not lying here or pretending when he says, we have sinned against you. He's telling the truth. But can you think of someone who actually was tempted in all points just as we are, yet never did sin, and yet chose to identify with us in our sinful state, and in fact took the punishment that we deserved for our sins? Jesus bore our guilt, our shame, and even when He went to the Jordan and was baptized by his cousin John said, you should be baptizing me, not me, you. Jesus said, no, this is to fulfill all righteousness. Because you see, He identified with us. He didn't need to repent. We did. But Jesus identified with us. And He would bear the guilt and the shame and the wrath of God for us. So Daniel here, ages before, is in a beautiful way identifying himself with his people and asking God to intervene and bring salvation for the glory of God's name. Notice the conclusion of his prayer. Verse 16, O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, not for my sake, for your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Lord, this is about your glory. This is about your name. This is about your reputation. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act for your sake. O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Do you remember Moses when God was talking about wiping out the Israelites and Moses is given the opportunity to intercede on their behalf? Moses' argument with God is not, oh no, God, we're not as bad as you think. You know, these people really, I mean, I know they messed up, but they're, you know, it's not really that they're idolaters. Yes, they were. He says, God, if you wipe them out, what are all the pagans around here going to say? They know that you're the one who brought them up out of Egypt, and it's going to look like you couldn't rescue your own people. It's going to dishonor your name. Salvation is not because we deserve it. It is because God has chosen to glorify his name by saving us. On what basis, according to Paul's letter to the Corinthians, on what basis did God choose those whom he would save? He deliberately chose the nobodies. He deliberately chose the people that the world would never have picked in order to make it clear that it's all about grace. And the Apostle Paul knew that, because of all the people on the planet to be chosen as an apostle of God, Saul of Tarsus shouldn't have made the cut. I mean, he should have been on the opposite list. He was an enemy of the gospel. He was an enemy of the gospel. He spent his energy rounding up Christians for persecution. Why in the world? Why in the world would you choose to save somebody like that, God? I'm saying he ought to be destroyed. God says, no, 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 for the glory of my name. I'm not only going to forgive him, I'm going to empower him and use him as one of my key instruments in all of human history. Why do you think God saved you? Well, you didn't see me when I was a little kid. I was really cute. That's what happened. I think God just looked down and said, "Ooh, I like that boy." That's not what happened at all. Just to put things in perspective, please understand this. God chose those of us who are Christians because we were unlikely choices. That's what he says in his word. He chose us in order to make it clear that it's not about us, it's about him. So people who believe in the sovereign choice of God, the doctrines of grace, should never, ever, ever fall into some sort of pride that, yes, we are the elect. If you believe that God chooses and predestines, which his word says he does, you should also believe that he does it in order to make it clear that it's not on the basis of any merit in us. And therefore, the doctrines of grace should bring profound humility, never pride. Never pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. God didn't choose us because we were really something. God chose us because he wanted to make it clear that it's his glory, his grace, and his power, and he is worthy of worship. That's what this is about. And folks, I would submit to you that we need to follow Daniel's example. We need to study the Word of God. We need to believe everything it says. And then we need to pray like crazy. We need to plead with God to do what he's promised and then watch God work. And you know what? We need to confess not just the sins of other people. We need to confess our sins. Confess our sins and pray for mercy, and pray for God to manifest his glory. And I can guarantee you something on the authority of God's word. He'll do it.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.